Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, December 17th, 2014, episode 10.35, the Week 16 preview show. 2 weeks left in the season, people. The Bears bench Jay Cutler, but will they cut him? I'll talk about that. The 49ers release defensive end Ray McDonald amidst reports of new legal investigation. The University of Michigan has made Jim Harbaugh an offer, and will he be leaving the NFL for that much money? The Panthers head coach Ron Rivera not sure if Cam Newton will be ready to go this weekend. Plus, DeMarco Murray reaches out to Emmitt Smith and actually practices with his injured hand today. Last second fan representative was found. Thomas Wolf puts his picks up against mine this week. Quick show today as Week 16 has games on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I've got to have my rest. Let's chomp it in, people!
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, welcome back to the show, wherever you are in the world and however you're listening to the show via download of the podcast or streaming it from the web. Thank you for joining in. I'm in the middle of a high-speed pursuit. I'm not in the high-speed pursuit myself. I'm watching on TV as this driver has led police all over Los Angeles. Redondo Beach, Hollywood, he's now on PCH, he's gone all over the place. They finally just stopped him and kind of boxed him in. His car has stopped. It looks like he's surrendering now, is stepping out of the car and surrendering. My question is, why go through that whole rigmarole if all of a sudden you're just going to stop and I give up, I surrender? Why make it worse for yourself? What are you trying to do? What can somebody please email me at steven@rarn.net and let me know what this person is thinking, that I'm just going to take police on a wild goose chase all around Southern California, put people's lives in danger. I think at one point in Hollywood, he actually drove his car up onto the sidewalk to get around cars to try and get away from police. You're not going to get away from them. They got helicopters tracking you. There's like seven station helicopters, police helicopters. They're all got you in their sights. They're all broadcasting you. It's not like you're going to go anywhere. You're not going to get away. And all you're doing is you're breaking like a skajillion violations and adding more to whatever problem, whatever the initial problem was, why the cops started chasing you to begin with. You just added like 100 more things to that. Why do it if in the end you're just going to stop and step out of the car and surrender? I don't understand the thinking. That's crazy. But news stations put it on television because I guess it's newsworthy. I'm not sure. I'm a little rant first. I'm going to start off with a little rant that has nothing to do with the National Football League. And my thing is, I'm not sure how to feel about what has happened with Sony. Basically, Sony, in case you haven't heard, put out a movie called The Interview, where they were making fun of North Korea and their leader, and saying that James Franco and is a guy who has a TV show, and he's going to get granted an interview with this leader. And after the CIA finds out that he's been granted this interview, they try to get him to take him out, you know, kill him. And so I guess, of course, North Korea, because that's, you know, what the leaders do over there, they got a little upset. They hacked Sony. I'm going to go ahead and say that they hacked Sony. I don't have proof of it, but I think the U.S. and the FBI and CIA, they're pretty close to just going ahead and saying, yeah, it was, after their investigation, it was North Korea. The government hired hackers to hack Sony, and they've, you know, put out movies, they've put out personal emails of high executives, employees. Now they've apparently sent emails to theater chains saying that they, you know, they're threatening, telling people don't go watch this movie because if you're around this movie, things, bad things are going to happen. And so today, in the wake of all of that, Sony has said they're not going to go forward with the release of The Interview, and they're pretty much squashing it, so it's not going to be coming out this weekend or on Christmas Day. I think it was coming out on Christmas Day. It will no longer be out. And I'm not sure what to think of it. I think, you know, I guess Sony believes because many movie theaters decided that, you know, hey, we're not going to chance it. We're not going to air that movie on our movie theaters. So they decided to just, you know, squash it. It's the safe thing to do. Yes, I understand that. It is the safe thing to do. But is it the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to do to just say, because these evil folks from a different country are saying that they are going to attack us if we air this movie, that we stop and we listen to what they have to say and we give in to their demands? I'm not sure that is a very good precedent that we're setting, especially if I decide to make my movie making fun of Mexico. And, you know, the government in Mexico decides to shut my movie down, which is not true. I'm not making a movie about Mexico. But it would be funny since I do have part of my heritage comes from Mexico. So I'm not sure. So now anytime a country gets upset at a movie that we make or a TV show that we put out and they threaten us, we're going to yank the plug on that. I guess they're erring on the side of caution and being safe. I can certainly understand that. But you know what? It's Sony. And they're right now trying to reel. I guess people are now suing them. And it's just, it makes me feel all yucky inside, I guess, because I have no control over it. And I wanted to see the movie because it looked funny. So now I'm going to have to, you know, now I'm going to have to be bad and I'm going to have to find a way to go and go to these illegal websites and download a version of it so that I can watch it because Sony. And you know what? It's not going to hurt Sony because they're not putting it out anymore. So there you go. That's exactly. They've won. The bad people have won. And I guess I'm not a big fan of when the bad people win. That's why there are some movies where the bad person wins, and I don't like the movie. I go home saying, well, that was not good. I can't believe I wasted $20 on that movie. Oh, thank you for joining me. It's time to get to football. I know I just spent 7 minutes ranting on a movie that no one's ever going to see because of threats from North Korea. Let's get to football. We'll start with the news, and we'll start in Chicago, where they've got quarterback issues. It was announced a little bit earlier today in the evening that the Chicago Bears have decided that the Jay Cutler era is over. That's right, Cutler no longer will be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. NFL insider Ian Rappaport reported that Cutler has been benched in favor of Jimmy Clausen. And according to sources that informed him of the situation, you know, Mark Trestman apparently had been considering benching Cutler. He didn't. And now he's going to do it. Two games left. They're going to go to Clausen. I guess they're now officially eliminated from the playoffs. So there's not much for the Bears to be playing for anyways. My only question is, if you're benching Cutler now with two games left, does that mean you're going to get rid of him? Are you going to try and trade? Well, you're not going to really trade him. I don't know there's anybody out there that would trade for him. They're not going to give you any picks. And by making this move, you've now basically just killed his value. So even if you do trade him, I'm not sure anybody would be willing to give you a fourth rounder for him. You might get a maybe a fifth rounder, and that's about it. So why bench him? Why don't you just finish out the season with him and then see what you can get? But the Bears owe Cutler $15.5 million that is fully guaranteed next season. It's going to be something that no team is going to want to take. I mean, if you're trying to get him off your books, either way, you're going to owe him $15.5 million. Because the team will say, sure, we'll take him, but you're paying him a salary because I'm only going to pay him the base salary for this year. You've got to come up with the other $15 million. I'll pay him the $1.1 million or whatever the base salary is for a veteran of his stature, but you're paying the other $14 million or whatever that is. I'm not sure anyone is going to trade for him. So the Bears are stuck. By making this move, they've made their situation worse. And I wish them well, because I never thought they should have given him the contract that they did to begin with. The San Francisco 49ers finally released defensive end Ray McDonald. You'll remember McDonald earlier in the season was accused of domestic violence. At that point, the San Francisco 49ers stood by him. There was an investigation, and they decided not to cut him at the time. But now there is another investigation that the San Jose Police Department apparently said that McDonald is being investigated for possible sexual assault. And at that, Trent Baalke, the GM of the 49ers, said that there was a pattern of behavior, and the team's decision to cut McDonald had to do with a plan that they had laid out for him, and that this latest accusation was a situation that's going against that plan, so it is best for the team to part ways with McDonald. Now, remember, it was back in August when he was arrested on suspicion of committing domestic violence against his fiance. The district attorney in Santa Clara declined to press charges at the time because they said there was insufficient evidence, so he was allowed to stay on the team. But now the San Francisco 49ers are out of the playoffs. They officially got eliminated last week by losing to Seattle. And now there's a new investigation, and they're saying, you know what, enough is enough. And they finally released Ray McDonald. so now you got to go back to that initial, investigation involving his fiance and maybe look at that a little bit closely. I don't know what these guys – I don't know what you have to do. These guys just don't learn. And now, the 49ers did this, and they don't even have to wait for the commissioner to put them on an exempt list or whatever. They just cut them, said, we're done with you. See you later. And there you have it. I think it's a little late for the Niners to do something about it, but they finally did it, and I guess better late than never. Speaking of the San Francisco 49ers, head coach Jim Harbaugh, I guess it's a foregone conclusion that he will be leaving the team, either voluntarily or not. But in the wake of that, it is being said that the University of Michigan is offering the head coach a six-year contract worth $48 million. That's right, 6 years for $48 million. That is a lot of do-re-mi. I mean, that's about $8 million per season. It would make Harbaugh the highest paid coach in college football. Nick Saban at Alabama earns a little more than $7 million per year. So this $8 million per year contract that Michigan is offering Harbaugh is very lucrative. They're pulling out all the stops. They're saying, we want you, dude. Here is the money. We're backing up the Brinks truck. $8 million per season. Come make Michigan a winner again, because we want you to come back home. And as of right now, Harbaugh has not said no to Michigan. He's eyeing it. I mean, trust me, I would eye it too. Someone's offered me $8 million a year to coach a college football team, I would certainly look at it. The thing is, for Harbaugh, you know, he was he's from Michigan. He played his collegiate days were spent played at Michigan. He was a quarterback there for the Wolverines. So he's going to his alma mater. They love him there. They think that, you know, he would be able to turn the team around. They've not been good in recent weeks. And I think it's a good fit for him, but I'm not sure Harbaugh wants to go back to the rigors of college life. You know, a head coach at the collegiate level, there's the recruiting. You got to go out and meet the parents. You got to meet prospective high school students, and you got to try and entice them to come to Michigan. Come to cold, snowy Michigan instead of going out to UCLA or USC where it's warm and sunny and beautiful all the time. That's what he's got to do, and I'm not sure Harbaugh wants to do that. Plus, the Oakland Raiders right across the bay also are waiting to see till the end of the season till they can get permission to talk to Harbaugh as well. So the decision for Harbaugh is this: do you want to stay in the NFL or do you want to go back to the collegiate level? If he wants to go back to college, there's no better place than for him to go back to Michigan, his alma mater, where he was the quarterback there, and get $8 million a year. They're going to make him the highest paid coach in college football. Why not go there? But I think what's gnawing at him is that he got to the Super Bowl and he lost it. He has not reached the pinnacle in the NFL. He may want to stay in the NFL. Here's what I'm looking at, though, and my questioning of why the San Francisco 49ers want to get rid of this guy. He comes into the league in 2011. That year, he leads the 49ers to a 13-3 record. They go on to the NFC Conference Championship game. They lose that game 2017 to the Giants. Not bad for a first year. He repeats it his second year. They go 11-4-1, all right? They go all the way to the Super Bowl, and they lose by 3 to the Ravens in a game that I still think there should have been a penalty called on the final play of the game, of the 49ers' final offensive play of the game, because I think Crabtree was held and pushed in the end zone. There should have been a defensive PI, and they should have gotten a chance to score again. Regardless of the matter, he got his team to the Super Bowl in his second season with the organization. In his third season with the organization, they went 12-4. They go to the NFC Championship game again. This time they lose to the eventual Super Bowl winners, the Seattle Seahawks, 23-17. And so he's given them three seasons where in all three seasons they made the playoffs. And they've won the division a couple times. And they've gone to the NFC Championship game all three times. Gets to the Super Bowl one of those times. Yes, he lost it, but still, you've got three winning records, three NFC Championship appearances. This is his fourth season. Things all of a sudden don't go so well. They're 7-7. They're a 500 team. It's not like they're a losing team. They're a 500 team. They could still finish possibly at 9-7. So there's a possibility that Harbaugh, in his first 4 years with the San Francisco 49ers, can give them four winning records in all 4 years and get fired? I don't understand. I don't understand the NFL at all if this is the case. I don't understand how a guy can come in to a team that before he got there was 7-9, 2-14, 4-12, 7-9, 5-11, 7-9, 8-8, 6-10. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of losing records, except for the 8-8 that were 500. But 8 years of no playoff appearances, of nothing, of going through coaches like Erickson and Nolan and Singletary and Tamusla, who took over for Singletary there at the end, and had nothing. And this guy comes in and gives you three straight NFC Championship games. This year, there's a little bit of trouble. There's a bump in the road. Let's get rid of him. He's not good enough. That's what the San Francisco 49ers are on the verge of doing. And I would just like to sit down with Jed York, who I've sat down before with in the past, and ask him, why? Why are you doing this? The man has given you three great seasons, and yes, you've had some problems in this fourth one, but doesn't he at least get a chance to come back a fifth season and see if he can get it back to the winning ways of his first 3 years? That is what I don't understand. But, hey, Michigan is putting it all on the table. They're saying $8 million a year, Jimmy. Come back home. Come back home for $8 million a year and make our team be relevant again in college football. That's Jim Harbaugh's decision, and that's the one he's going to make to make. Do I stay in the NFL and try to get that elusive Super Bowl championship, or do I go back to the collegiate level and see if I can take my team and win a national championship? All right, finally in NFL news, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, not sure if Cam Newton is ready to go this weekend, and Riverboat Ram is wondering whether it's Derek Anderson, who we call Drek here. Drek was not that bad last week. He was serviceable, but they were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, that's who they were playing. This week, the Carolina Panthers are hosting the Cleveland Browns. So he might be thinking, hey, it's Johnny Manziel. He looked awful last week. We could probably win this game with Derek Anderson and not have to force Cam Newton out here to play. The problem is, if the Saints win their game against the Atlanta Falcons and we lose, that's it. It's over. We need to win this game to continue to have a shot at possibly making the playoffs. So tough decision for Ron Rivera. That's something that we'll have to monitor. He hasn't given us a decision which way he will go. And finally, running back for the Dallas Cowboys, DeMarco Murray, reached out to former Dallas Cowboy running back Emmitt Smith, the current league-leading rushing title holder, who once played with a similar injury to DeMarco Murray. Basically, if you don't know, Murray injured a bone, actually got a broken bone in his left hand. So it's not the hand that he normally carries the football with. However, he needs it for stiff arms and blocking. He did practice today in a limited basis. He was out on the field. He did individual drills. He actually caught some footballs, which was interesting to see. And he wants to play. I mean, he wants to shed this label that he's injury prone. I'm sure he wants to get onto that football field and help the Dallas Cowboys beat the Indianapolis Colts. He's probably chomping at the bit at getting after that Colts defense. So he was out there at practice. The Cowboys are taking it day to day. They will probably make him a game time decision as to whether he plays against the Colts. Okay, 16 games. Thursday night football, the Jacksonville Jaguars will host the Tennessee Titans in the nappiest of nap games. That is what we have there. Then we have two Saturday games. The early Saturday game, the Philadelphia Eagles will go to Washington to face the Redskins. And the late Saturday game, the San Francisco 49ers will host the San Diego Chargers. Then a full slate of Sunday games, including a Sunday night game, which is really good. The Seattle Seahawks going to the desert to play the Arizona Cardinals. And then we end on Monday Night Football, where the Cincinnati Bengals try to show the world that they can play in primetime with a very good team as they host Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. So there you go. Games Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm just asking the NFL, why didn't you play a Friday night game? What's the deal there? You should have taken that Eagles-Redskins game and made it a Friday night game and had games every day. That would have been awesome. But it's a very interesting week, and I thank Thomas Wolfe. I was trying to find a fan to go up against me in Week 16, and I very late in the evening today because I was very busy, put out an invitation for someone to join me. He was the first one to respond with his picks, and so he's going up against me. Crazy day today. My daughter was in a Christmas music recital. I had to put grout in the bathroom. We had a new toilet installed. It was just a crazy, crazy day. It's raining like crazy. I don't know if you are following me on Facebook. I posted a picture of the wicked skies out here in Pasadena, California, and I said, something wicked this way comes. It was dark and ominous and scary, and, you know, just get me going. It just gets me going. But let's get to it. We start with Thursday Night Football as the Jacksonville Jaguars host the Tennessee Titans. So as I said earlier, Thomas and I differ on five games. I will mostly spend the majority of my time talking about those five games. But in this one, we both have the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee Titans just look pretty bad. They look bad offensively. They look bad defensively. And even on special teams. And, you know, the way they lost to the New York Jets last week leads me to believe short week. Jacksonville's at home. Jacksonville has been playing pretty tough. You know, they held their own against Baltimore last week. So we both have the Jacksonville Jaguars to win that one. We'll move on to the Saturday affairs as the Philadelphia Eagles travel to our nation's capital to face the Washington Redskins. We both have Philadelphia winning this football game, mostly because I have absolutely no idea what the Washington Redskins are doing there. And remember, I had Mark Rippon on just a few weeks ago, and even Rippon said they're having a hard time fielding a winning team. Well, that's because their head coach hates his starting quarterback, literally. I played what Jay Gruden had to say about RG3. There's no way they're going to compete against the Eagles. Now, I know DeSean Jackson is going to want to come out and have a great game because he's going to be going against his old team, but that will not be enough. We both have the Eagles to win on Saturday night. The final Saturday night game, the San Diego Chargers travel up to San Francisco to face the San Francisco 49ers. And even before I heard that Michigan had offered Jim Harbaugh the $8 million a year for 6 years, I was taking the San Diego Chargers. Something going on with the 49ers offense. Kaepernick just seems to, I don't want to say he's regressed. I think that he has just become a head case. He doesn't trust himself. He doesn't trust his reads. He doesn't trust what he sees on the football field. And more importantly, he doesn't trust his decision to take off and run with his legs. Now, in the past, when the 49ers were having success, Kaepernick would get back. He would take a look at the field. He would make his reads. And if nothing was there, immediately he was gone and off to the races. And that's what defenses could not contain. Now, before he decides to take off, he seems lost. He seems unsure of whether he should take off or not. And that is what's killing him. That split second that he is taking to decide whether he stays in the pocket or whether he runs, that is what's killing him. And that is why defenses are onto him now. I do not trust that offense at all. I take San Diego, and so does Thomas. Now we'll head to Sunday, where the Carolina Panthers host the Cleveland Browns. He's got the Panthers. I've got the Panthers. I went full disclosure last week where I just said I was wrong. I made a mistake about Johnny Football. The kid is not ready to come out and be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. It's going to take some time, and because of that time, they're not going to go into Carolina, a team that is still fighting for its playoff lives. I think the Panthers at home are going to be pretty tough, and even though that Browns defense gets after the quarterback, regardless of whether it's Cam or whether it's Derek Anderson, the Panthers will do enough to get the W over Cleveland and Johnny Football. We both like the Panthers. Then the next game, the Chicago Bears, or Cubs, will host the Detroit Lions. The Lions got to get going. Their offense with the big names that they have on the offensive side of the ball, they should be scoring more points. Not sure what's going on with Matt Stafford, but Chicago Bears going to Jimmy Clausen. I've seen Clausen play live in person with my own eyes. I'm not convinced. There's a reason he is a backup. And the Chicago Bears making this move is more a move of we are going to just move on without Cutler. I don't think Clawson has a big day. If he has a big day, it's probably him throwing for 200 yards. That's probably the big day that he would have. I like the Detroit Lions to win this football game, and so does Thomas. He's got the Lions as well. The Houston Texans host the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens know that with a win and a little help, they will get into the playoffs. The Houston Texans stick a fork in them. They are pretty much done. And even with J.J. Watt and all the people clamoring for J.J. Watt should be the MVP of the league. If he was the MVP of the league, people, his team would be winning their division. Oh, yes, I said that. Snap. Can you believe it? Come on. Yes, probably the best defensive player. I will give him that. But MVP, because he scored a couple touchdowns while he played tight end, and he does what he does on the defensive side of the ball, you have to lead your team to victories. That is what a most valuable player does. A most valuable player to me is a player who, if you take him out of the team, that team flounders. That team would not be the same team. That is what most valuable player is. It is this player is so important to me and this football team that if we take him away, we would be half of the team we are. And I am not looking at the Houston Texans and saying, if you remove J.J. Watt from that equation, that Houston Texans team is still the same football team. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to downgrade what J.J. Watt does on the football field. But at the end of the day, when you look at the Houston Texans, they are a 7-7 football team. And if you take J.J. Watt out of the equation and take him out of that defense, you know what? The Houston Texans are still a 7-7 football team. So for everybody who is clamoring for him to be the MVP, calm down. Yes, I will give him Defensive Player of the Year. He has done great things on defense, but he's not the MVP of the National Football League. Not when he has led his team to be a 7-7 team, and if you were to take him off that team, they'd still be a 7-7 team. Of course, that's just my opinion, and there it is. Now, we both have the Baltimore Ravens winning that game, and that's just because I think Houston, without a quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick hurting his leg and not being available, I'm not really sure who is going to quarterback for the Houston Texans in this game, only because I think Tom Savage as well got hurt in that game last week. So it's Case Keenum, I think they signed, maybe. So there you go, the Houston Texans, for everything that they want to do, and as much as they love J.J. Watt and they win, they got Clowney on the defensive side of the ball with the number one pick again. Way to go. You keep getting those defensive players, but until you solve the problem of your quarterback, you're not going to win very many football games in the NFL. Thank you very much, Houston Texans. Move along. We both take Baltimore to win that game. Next up, the Miami Dolphins host the Minnesota Vikings. We both like the Miami Dolphins to get a win, even though they've pretty much shot themselves in the foot and are no longer in contention for either playoffs. Well, I mean, still long shot for playoffs. Not even long shot for playoffs. No, 9-7 is not going to get you in. I think, I'm not sure if they're officially eliminated, but I'm not sure 9-7 is going to get them into the playoffs. But they'll win this game. Minnesota on the road is a much different team than Minnesota at home. At home, they play pretty tough. They've not been so good on the road. And we both like the Dolphins to get that win. Next up, the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. The winner of this game gets in prime position to win the pathetic NFC South. And this is the first game that we differ upon. I like the Atlanta Falcons. They've already beaten the Saints, and he is taking New Orleans at home. Trust me, I'm not sure I like that pick. The New Orleans Saints, four straight games that they have lost at home. Not very good. That is no longer home field advantage when you lose four in a row. Let's see what Thomas has to say. He's got the Saints over the Falcons. He said, the Saints played well against Chicago and are a better team than the record shows. They should be able to beat the Falcons at home and gain momentum heading into the playoffs. Yeah, you know what? That's what I said earlier in the season for the New Orleans Saints. Then they got blasted at home, four straight games that they played in the Dome. It just was not good at the Superdome. So I don't trust the Saints. 1 week they look fantastic. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. This week they dismantled the Bears, or more appropriately, the Bears dismantled themselves. And New Orleans got the win. But here you go. It's a divisional opponent. Atlanta always plays them well. These games are always decided by 4 points or less. And I just think that Matt Ryan is going to get it done. And they will take care of the New Orleans Saints. That is the first game I might make. No, I'm not going to make that the challenge game. But it's going to be a good game, and I think Atlanta will take care of business. The New York Jets hosting the New England Patriots. Come on, man. Seriously? Everybody's angry at the New York Jets for winning the game last week against Tennessee. People, come on. They're players. They have pride. They're going to play to win the football game. No one is trying to suck for the duck, okay? It was suck for luck a few years ago, but suck for the duck, right? Because Mariota's a duck? Because really nothing rhymes with Mariota, right? Play poorly for the Mariota or something. I don't know. That's what they want. Fans want the Jets to do, but Rex Ryan kind of laughed that off. We want to win, and real fans of the Jets want them to win. I agree with him. Keep out there. Keep playing hard. Keep trying to win. Wherever you are in the draft, if you really want Mariota that bad, trade up and go get him. All that being said, New England's just going to crush the Jets. I think earlier in the year, the Jets played them really close. I think it was a Thursday night football. New England needed to block a field goal at the end of the game to escape with a victory. That was a long time ago. It will be a different game this week, and I think the Patriots will humiliate the Jets and beat them by at least 20 points. Thomas has the Patriots as well. We'll move on. The Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the second game that we differ on. I've got the Steelers. Thomas says he's got the Chiefs, and he says although the Chiefs have a weak run defense, I think they can keep Pittsburgh under 21 points. Alex Smith will find a way to take advantage of a weak Steelers secondary, and the Chiefs receivers will finally show up for a football game. Seriously, Thomas, we've been waiting 16 weeks, dude. I don't think they have wide receivers on that football team. Also, I hate the Steelers and will never pick them to win regardless of who they are playing. Not to mention the Steelers have lost to terrible teams this year. So there you go. He hates the Steelers. And I think that's why I'm making this the challenge. No, I'm not making that the challenge game either. There's another game that I want to make the challenge game. But I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. As you said, the Chiefs have a weak run defense. The Pittsburgh Steelers are running the football very well right now with Le'Veon Bell. And Antonio Brown has been the biggest surprise at the wide receiver position. I like Pittsburgh to win this football game at home and pretty much secure a spot into the playoffs. I'll take Pittsburgh, and Thomas has got the Chiefs. The next game and the final early game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hold the Green Bay Packers, and I am sorry for Lovie Smith and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I would not want to be playing the Green Bay Packers after they got embarrassed last week by the Buffalo Bills. I think Green Bay will destroy, and I use the word destroy only because I can't find another word right now. It's so late and I'm so tired. But they will destroy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Thomas agrees. He's got the Packers as well. Moving on to the late games on Sunday. The New York Giants travel to St. Louis to face the Rams. He's got the Giants over the Rams. I am taking the Rams at home. The Rams, he says, the Rams don't have much of an offense, and the Giants have Odell Beckham Jr. Yes, I know everybody is falling in love with Odell Beckham Jr., and can you blame them? I mean, the dude is having a great, great year, but you're right. I will agree that the Rams don't have much of an offense, but what they do have is they have a stellar defense, and they haven't allowed a touchdown in three straight games. Is that correct? Yeah, I think that's right. They pitched two shutouts, and they gave up four field goals last week to Arizona. Trust me, Eli Manning is going to get eaten for lunch. The Rams at home will play some really good football, and I don't care if they have Odell Beckham Jr. If Eli can't get him the football, it's not going to matter for much. I'll take St. Louis to win that game. The next afternoon game, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Indianapolis Colts. I've got the Dallas Cowboys, and he is taking the Colts. He is taking the Colts. Says DeMarco Murray probably won't start the game, which completely changes the Cowboys. If he does play, I would expect him to turn over the ball at least once. The Colts will win by at least 10 points. Are you kidding? Thomas, have you even watched the Indianapolis Colts play over the last several weeks? Andrew Luck has thrown a pick six over in back-to-back weeks. They struggled to beat a Houston Texans team that didn't have a quarterback last week. Trust me, regardless of whether Murray runs the ball or not, the Indianapolis Colts' run defense is horrible. I expect Joseph Randle and Lance Dunbar to run just as well as DeMarco will. I don't think just because he has a broken hand, he will fumble the ball away. But I don't even think he's playing. I think it's going to be Randle and Dunbar. The Cowboys are going to save Murray for the playoffs. The Cowboys know that last week's win against the Philadelphia Eagles means nothing if they lose this football game to the Colts. They are not going to lose it. They are going to do everything in their power to win. I'm pretty certain that the Cowboys will win out, finish the season at 12-4, win the East, and guarantee a spot, get themselves a spot in the playoffs. They're not going to want to wait or wish or hope that somebody else takes care of business. They're going to take care of their own business. And that is why I am going to take this as a challenge game. Yeah, I could take the Steelers over the Chiefs because I think that's a pretty easy one. Yeah, I could take the Rams over the Giants because I think they're going to get to Eli. But if the Cowboys go down, this is how confident I am that the Cowboys will win this football game. You got the Colts winning by 10. Come on, Thomas. So confident am I that the Dallas Cowboys win this football game. Not only will I make it the challenge game, I know if they go down, their playoff season, their season goes down. If they lose this game, they are out of the playoffs. And so if they're going to go down, I am going to go down with the ship. I will take the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Colts at home. They will get after Luck, and they will take care of business running the football, regardless who they have running the football for them, whether it's Murray, Dunbar, or Randle. I like Dallas to get the win. Okay, the final afternoon game is kind of a snoozer. The Buffalo Bills travel across the country to play the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders are kind of just chipping away. They're like, yeah, we'll play because, you know, we have to. The league says we have to play a football game. And the Buffalo Bills defense, I wouldn't be surprised if the Oakland Raiders get blanked again this week. That's how well the Bills defense is playing football right now. I'm going to take Buffalo, and also Thomas will take Buffalo as well. We both have the Bills, and that's the final late Sunday game. Then Sunday night football, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Arizona to face the Cardinals. We both have the Seahawks. Look, I'm sorry. The Seattle Seahawks are just playing good football right now on the defensive side of the ball, and lo and behold, they get a third-string quarterback. That's what Arizona has to send out there. I think it's Ryan Lindley who they've made it official. That's right. Ryan Lindley is going to get the start for Arizona against Seattle. The Seahawks and the Legion of Boom defense are going to eat him for lunch. And they're going to save a little bit of sight. They're going to put it in a doggy bed. And then they're going to eat him for dinner. The Arizona Cardinals may have secured a playoff spot already, but I think this week it goes from them leading the division to them becoming a wild card spot, because I believe not only do they lose this week, they lose next week as well. So it's very good for them that they've already clinched their playoff spot. I'll take Seattle, and so does Thomas. Final game of the week, Monday Night Football. The Cincinnati Bengals host the Denver Broncos. I'm going to roll with Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. Thomas is taking Cincinnati at home. Let's see what he has to say. He says, it will probably be a cold and rainy night. That is good for the Bengals' running game. Manning struggles in the cold and hasn't been playing well recently. Although the Bengals are dreadful in primetime, I think they can win a close one. That's all I'm going to point to, Thomas. They are dreadful in primetime. Cincinnati, until they show me they can win a big game in primetime, that's when I'll start to take them. There's no way that I will take him against Peyton Manning on Monday Night Football. Yes, Manning has played poorly the last couple weeks, but they've been some pretty solid defenses. Cincinnati's not quite up to that par. I will take Denver, and I take them to win by 10 or more points. Folks, quick show. I told you it would be. Thank you, Thomas, for sending in your picks and your comments. There you go. We differ on 5 games. You've got Saints over Falcons. Well, I've got Atlanta. You've got Chiefs over Steelers. I've got Pittsburgh. You've got Giants over Rams. I'll take those pesky Rams. You've got Colts over Cowboys. I'm going to go down with the ship in Dallas, and I am making that the challenge game. And then the Bengals over the Broncos. Well, I will take Denver and Peyton Manning. Folks, thank you very much for listening. I hope I didn't offend anyone with my comments regarding the Sony hack and how I feel about them pulling the plug on the interview. It's just my thoughts, folks. That's all I have to say about that. Come back next week. I will hopefully have a pretty big announcement and lots of good stuff happening. Gotten credentials for the Super Bowl again. We will be at Super Bowl 49 in Arizona on Radio Row all week. And this year, the Pro Bowl is the Sunday before in Arizona. We will be at that game as well. Possibly Jeff Ellis will be joining me. I'm not sure if he will be joining me on air, but he will certainly be joining me in Arizona. That's all the time I've got. Head out to NFLRNR.com. That's NFLRANDR.com. Make sure you're following Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I think on Instagram it was the first place I put a picture of Jay Cutler and the news that he had been benched. Other news is getting posted on Facebook and Twitter as well. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Stephen Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.